If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
As this pandemic and its multiple waves hopefully slowly wind down, we're finding out what artists in our community have been up to. Aside from Zoom performances and playing small acoustic gigs, Rob Derrick of Mo was quietly creating an album of songs commissioned by you, his fans. The 8-song collection is very different from what you'd imagine the Mo bassist would be a part of, so we tracked him down to talk about songs for other people and a few other things on our mind. Here's that conversation. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time, man. Really appreciate it. I've had a chance to listen to songs for other people quite a bit over the last 24 hours, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's such a departure that I'm really enjoying it. Why this project now out of the pandemic?
There was no, honestly, I don't have the ability to like make a plan or have foresight. This is just like, I just do stuff. Like I did this during the pandemic. And then, you know, my wife was like, these songs are really good. You know, it's like, you might have a career in this. And I'm like, well, I do. I'm, but you know, she's joking around. And just as I was going, and after I did the songs, I'm like, you know, I would like to have my own album. Maybe I should get in the studio with these songs and get some musicians. And she was like, it actually sounds good the way it is, you know, just, you know, mix it up a little bit better. And that, and I'm like, all right. So I did. And then it was a matter of like, just getting everything done and putting it out. And I didn't even tell my manager, and she was just like, I wish you would have given me some heads up on this because I could have like set up some of this stuff for you. And I was like, I know, but I was waiting on my daughter to finish making the album cover. She was supposed to do that. And then she finally was just like, I can't do it. And then I used an illustration of my wife's, and I'm like, I'm just going to do it. Screw it. I'm going to do it and put it out. And I told her, I was like, you know, if I had told you what was going on, you would have told me to wait. And I've been waiting for so long. I just did it. And she's like, she laughed. She's like, yeah, I would have told you.
The album's a collection of songs that you wrote and recorded during your time off, obviously from the band and from during the pandemic. It says in the bio that they were commissioned pieces in which fans provided the catalyst. How does that work?
Well, I was making songs I was doing a bunch of stuff during the pandemic to keep busy, including like lessons on Zoom, you know, online. And Al and I began doing these live house parties, and it was just from that, you know, from there, I ended up putting out, you know, the idea of like, you know, what do you think people would pay? I just put it out to, you know, fans and friends to have a song that they want about somebody or something written by me. And we came up with this figure, and basically what it was like, I'll write you a song. And I put some of the money towards our crew who had been off the road and collecting unemployment and stuff or whatever, you know, just unemployed. I said, I'll write the song for you about what you want it to be about. And I got to choose, you know, the subject from people. I didn't take everybody's ideas. And then, I mean, I still own the song, but it's your song, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a song for you.
It's great. And they didn't have any say necessarily in instrumentation or what the song, I mean, they had an idea of like the theme, but not necessarily what the song was going to be about or any of those sorts of things. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So like, you know, I got as much information as I could gather from people when they gave me, you know, like, I want to write this, you know, can you write a song for my fiance or whatever? And then, you know, I was like, okay, so give me some backstory. Tell me about, you know, like what they're like. And then I would use that. And then, you know, obviously I just have to go by my own feelings and my own experiences with, you know, like my wife or my kids or my, you know, stuff. And I put that together with the material that they wanted about.
You played everything on this record. How challenging was that for you? We're used to seeing you play bass and a little bit of guitar, but mostly bass. Was that a big challenge? Yeah. I mean, these songs are all well produced. Like, there's a lot going on in these songs. It's not just you and an acoustic. There's a lot going on in some of these songs. Was that a big challenge for you?
It was a fun challenge. It was, you know, obviously there's musical limitations that I have. You know, I'm not a concert pianist or a ripping guitarist. But I can, you know, I can do some stuff. And I didn't actually play the drums. I programmed the drums. So it's all, you know, it's all programmed drums and loops and stuff. But, you know, I had to learn. So part of what was happening at the same time as I was doing these shows online, and it was a solo, like I do a solo show essentially. So I had been woodshedding my guitaring, my guitaristing, and, you know, I was getting better at it, and I was learning how to, like, I was making loops in Logic and GarageBand. You know, like I make a bass loop or some drum loops to play along with live. And basically that sort of spurred me on, and I was getting better and better at that. And that was sort of the catalyst for like my inspiration to do this.
But like on Ups and Downs and Carry Me Carry, there's some pretty heavy duty guitar picking going on, like, especially off the top, like there's some playing, man.
Yeah. I've always been pretty good at doing the claw hammer kind of banjo-y kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And picking. So like, when I wrote songs like New York City, I wrote it on guitar, and, you know, I wrote it picking the guitar and stuff like that. I'm trying to think of other songs I've done that way, but that's sort of like, I think it sort of comes from doing the slap style bass that right. I would do. So I always using my thumb and my fingers, and it was just a matter of sort of transferring that muscle memory to guitar a little bit.
Was the process a lot different for you in terms of, we know that Moe's songs are these long pieces with, you know, improvisation jams and space for jams and stuff. These 3.5 minute songs aren't that, obviously.
No.
But is the process that much different? I mean, you have a melody, you have an idea, a sense for lyrics, obviously, in both kinds of songs, but is it that much different than writing for Mo? Was this process that much different than writing for Mo?
That much? No, it was different in a way. Like sometimes when I'm writing for Mo, I'll come up with a song structure, and then I might be like, I'm going to add this other kind of crazy thing to it that we can really take, you know, to another level, to a different place. But I don't do that all the time. Like sometimes I just write like a song where there's a part that's easily soloed over or improvised, and it doesn't have to be a set amount of times. And these songs are more like that, I guess, without that extended solo. It's kind of weird if you're doing it all by yourself. Like how do you jam with yourself when you're doing it, recording it?
So yeah.
It's not quite, you know, I've played a couple of the tunes. Al and I did a solo thing together where we played a couple of them live, and they're opened up for him to do solos. And then I have another project that I've been working on with Vinny and Tim Palmieri and Nate Wilson called Blue Star Radiation. And we played a couple of those tunes as well. A couple tunes like Big Smooth and Piper's Song. And those songs open up pretty well for improvisation.
I was going to say, of the songs on this record, if Big Smooth doesn't make it into a Mo set, there's something weird going on, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's sort of become a Blue Star song
now. Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's interesting because it it absolutely could open up, and it does, you know, it has everything that you'd expect from a Mo song, probably. It's a little psychedelic, and it's got that great groove. Like, it could easily be, I could easily see it's fitting in a Mo set. It would be hard to take, it would be hard to take Emma on the road for Beautiful Mess all the time, but how cool was it to have your daughter actually sing on a track on this record?
Oh, it was so cool. And she did such a great job. And you know, if we sat down, if she wasn't, you know, caught, you know, with school and everything, I probably would have got her on more tracks. But, you know, during the pandemic too, stuff was a little bit crazy. Cause I mean, those songs were recorded over a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's done some live stuff with us too. And
right.
Like we did those shows recently.
I was going to ask you about, just the tone of these songs. First of all, if you put it on, it could easily be a soundtrack from like a 90s indie film. Like there's so many songs. Like, you know, I was thinking of even Beautiful Mess, but there were a couple other songs. Like I kept thinking like Matthew Sweet or like something in that. Yeah, something in that 90s like thing. And Moe's Hose, I don't know if you're familiar with the Canadian band Sloan, but Moe's Hose,
yeah,
reminded me of Sloan a lot, like Underwhelmed specifically. So
dude, I used to listen to that all the time, all that stuff because of Buffalo.
Yeah, know? Right, for we sure.
What was the Toronto
Edge?
Yeah, I would just listen to that. That was like the main station we listened to in Buffalo, and besides the local
local
college station that I listen to.
I have to say it's great. Bagel Line is such, I think, a song that everybody can relate to, and it's just, I guess somebody said, write me a song about going to pick up a bagel in the morning, right? Like
it was the guy, yeah, the guy, it's the guy owns a place called the Love Shack in Mississippi at Ole Miss. And it's a bagel and pizza place that everyone loves there. And I got to, their fight song is Hell Yeah. Whatever I said in the song, I can't remember. Yeah, yeah. Like Hell Yeah, All Right, or something like that. And they, he was like, you know, I don't want a jingle. I'm not asking for a jingle for, because that was one of my, you know, like, I'm not going to write jingles for businesses.
Right.
He's like, but like, people love this. It's all young kids and they come and they get on Sundays, they wait to get bagels. There's just a long line out and it's just a shack. It literally is a shack with a giant parking lot. Hmm. And the guy was like psyched out of his mind with the song. He wanted to like do, you know, he has it on the jukebox there. So like people waiting in line are listening to that, and he was pretty thrilled with it.
You must be pretty thrilled that these all came out and people are really like, there's even comments like people are actually enjoying them and enjoying them enough that they're, you know, Carry Me Carry seems to be something that people are liking, and Bagel Line, and I mentioned Big Smooth as a track that I really liked. It must be kind of rewarding to do something different or out of the norm for you and have people enjoy it as much as they are. That must be cool for you.
Yeah, man, for sure. They you know, like I was reading some of the comments, someone's like, my husband doesn't like Mo and he listened to this and really likes it. But yeah, I mean, my favorite on it is Ups and Downs. I think that's my favorite one out of all of them.
Yeah, it's great playing. Like I could easily see Al and you doing that song live, like that one. Yeah, and Carry Me Carry, Slipping by Shoals, even like those to me are all easily digestible, like just you and Al in an acoustic environment, they would sound great. I'd be remiss while having you on the line if I didn't ask you about your brother in arms and his, how he's doing. How's Chuck doing these days with his battle?
Chuck's doing a lot better. I mean, I talked to him. It's slowed down a little bit, but I was keeping like in touch with him constantly and his wife. And I mean, he's like 5 or 6 hours away from me. So it's hard to get down there to see him. But you know, I Zoom call with him and you know, it's like he's like a different person from when I first started, you know, when I first started visiting him and right. But when he first had his stroke, but you know, now he's got like, his vocabulary is way up there. He's got great movement, and he's just, you know, he's woodshedding his physicality, I guess, yeah, in his speech. I mean, because that's a big thing to get over. Like, he knows everything in his head. It's just being able to articulate his thoughts. You know, he has to learn all that stuff all over again, and his muscle memory for his hand. The big thing was his right arm and right hand. That was the last thing to come back. So, but he's, I mean, honestly, I see a lot of great progress with him right now.
Is the plan to sort of do some of these side projects until he's a lot better, or to continue to do Mo dates even if he can't make it back? I mean, you don't really have any Mo dates till April, right now on the books. I mean, is that the sort of to wait and see how he's doing, or to just do fill-ins like you did at the Cap if necessary? I mean, nobody can really fill in for Chuck, but
no, that's true. Right now it's a matter of just, you know, Chuck, as soon as you're ready to come back, you know, you're coming back, and he gets that. And we're trying to just deal with the day-to-days at this point, and don't have a complete plan yet, because it's all so up in the air, you know. Yeah. Can't see into the future. There's no like finite, like, oh, once I finish, you know, recovering from my surgery, this will, you know, it'll take 6 weeks and I'll be done, I'm ready to go. There's just no knowing. So
yeah,
it's not like that.
You know, a band that has had your history has had serious bouts of members. I mean, you were off for a while when you were ill.
Yeah.
But the band didn't really tour when you were off. It's kind of a different situation. But you're a family, right? Yeah. And everybody understands that the show must go on, and you've got to keep paying bills and all of that, right?
There's all that. Yeah. You know, we're not Jay-Z. You know, we don't have like all this mailbox money that just sits, you know. So it's a matter of balancing that, you know.
There are a bunch of Blue Star Radiation dates in January. Is that becoming a bigger obsession for you and Vinny at this point? Is it something that, or is it, you know, just some goofs just to have some shits and giggles on the road together?
Maybe somewhere between the two. It's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I haven't announced this yet, but we're removing those January dates because of COVID.
Yeah.
And that is an ongoing thing. So those are getting pushed back to April. Just waiting on some finals on that. But it's a lot of shits and giggles, and I'm a little bit obsessed with it. It's really fun playing with some new people and doing something slightly different. You know, this is more of a rocking thing, yeah, than a jamming thing. There is some soloing and improvising, but you know, this is rocking a little bit more.
I think fans want to know when those two shows from December at the Cap will be out, because some of those performances were amazing, and like being able to catch you with playing with Warren Haynes, which must have been amazing and old timey for you guys, right?
He's so good.
And some of the other guests, you know, Nate Wilson and Reed. So they're not up on nugsnet.yet. But they must be coming soon, right? I mean, that's in the plans probably.
Yeah, I don't know what management is doing with that exactly. So I'm not prepared to answer that.
All good.
So, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. dude, songs for other people is so good that hopefully it won't take a pandemic or time at home for you to write some more solo stuff, because the stuff was a lot of fun, and I think it has a lot of longevity. So while it's out there, keep writing, man, and hopefully we'll hear some more of these great tunes.
Thank you so much, man.
Thanks for taking the time, dude, and good luck with whatever you got going on, and get better, Chuck, too. If you could send it along, we'd appreciate it.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
You can check out Songs for Other People at robderrick.bandcamp.com and make sure you check out mo.org for everything Mo and other side projects.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.